Well, good morning. If this is your first Sunday, thank you for just participating in kind of family things as we're going. And I want to get right into the Word because I want to deliver what I believe God has put us in. But I want to just kind of make you aware of what's going on for the next couple of weeks as we're in a series that's kind of a non-series in the sense that our church, since the beginning of January, actually for the last 2 years, we've been reading together the one-year Bible, which is just a Bible plan that gives you an Old Testament, a New Testament, a Psalm and Proverb every day that you can read. And so what we try to do once or twice a year is I do a series alongside of that. That just means that what you read that week, what we're going to talk about this Sunday, you read last Sunday. So what you read that week, I'm going to preach on, and we're continuing that through the rest of June. So if you want to jump in, you can actually pull up on your Bible app and plug right into the one-year Bible when you call that up, and you'll be reading right along with us in the next 2 weeks. But this Sunday, I want to get right into Acts 2. Acts 2 is the birth of the church. There was no church. Jesus entered into reality. He lived his life. He went to the cross and he died. And then he rose. And then something began. And for the next 40 days, he spent time with his disciples, encouraging them. And almost every time that he came to them, they were hiding somewhere in an upper room, locked behind a door because they were terrified. This was his mighty men. This was his people that were to declare the good news to the rest of the world, and they were locked behind doors. And what happens in Acts 2 totally, radically transformed church in general. They were never the same after this day, never. And so what I want to do is make you uneasy is not the right word, unsatisfied with the trickle that some of us live with every day. And let me explain that. The Holy Spirit was involved in participating all throughout the Old Testament. We could go through lots of examples, but I'm not going to do that right now because that's not what I want to talk about. But the Holy Spirit was there, but it was a trickle. It wasn't a guarantee. It wasn't every day. It was when God needed to move, the Holy Spirit showed up and did what needed to be done. And then Jesus, in John 14, I believe, or 15, said, "It is to your benefit that I leave so that the Helper may come." Because God was going to do something in the church that would take the trickle away and give us a live current of millions of volts that we have active availability to. He wanted to change us. Because what happened in Acts 2 transformed a ragtag bunch of common people into a radically transformational group of people that changed our world. And right now, we, 2,000 years later, are still proclaiming the same gospel because they got something that we have access to. The beauty of where we're at right now in our culture is that everyone, whether they're Spirit-filled, okay, so if you're like, Holy Spirit's being talked about. If you're like, I'm glad I sit on the back row, I promise this will be painless. But everyone, even those that wouldn't consider themselves Spirit-filled, wouldn't consider themselves baptized in the Holy Spirit, are beginning to talk about the power that we're missing through the Holy Spirit. This guy named Francis Chan, he actually wrote a book about 8 years ago called The Forgotten God. That literally was about this idea that we've forgotten our access to the Father is now, we talk about Jesus all the time, and Jesus is still awesome, but our access right now, here, is the Holy Spirit. And the beauty of His Word is that where two or three are gathered in My name, which we are, He's here. So in this room right now, the power of the living God that rose Jesus from the dead is here. Can transform lives, can change everything. But I want you to have tension of going, I don't want to just settle for the trickle. because the goodness of God will be experienced by those whether they are plugged into the outlet or not. But we can experience God in a way that will change our lives radically forever. So we're going to begin in Acts 2, and I'm going to pray before we get into the Word. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you that you had the wisdom and insight to record what the church was doing. So not only that we could see their example, but we could see that they went through things just like we go through things, that they experience the difficulties of life, but your power is bigger than those things. Lord, we just declare that he that is in us is greater than he that is in the world. The power that we have access to can change our lives, our marriages, our futures, and our today. And so, Lord, we just invite your Holy Spirit to have his way with us. Lord, that you would just open our eyes and our ears, not to hear a sermon, not to hear me talk, but Lord, that we would open, that you would open our eyes and ears to hear you talk. We pray these things in the mighty and powerful name of Jesus. Amen. So these guys were basically lost. I mean, even with the return, like no one was there on the day. Jesus told them over and over and over again, hey guys, I'm going to die. A little bit later, I'm going to come back. There was a party waiting on Resurrection Day, 3 days later, going, like waiting with their little selfie sticks for Jesus to come, you know, the moment where the stone moved. They weren't there, they were hiding. And the only people that showed up that morning were those that were going to finish preparing his body. This is the group that changed our world. These are the guys that ran off afraid. One of them actually ran off without his clothes. Like the night of when, you know, earlier on, Jesus is like, hey guys, you're all going to like leave me. No, no. Peter's like, I'll die. Jesus tells him he's going to betray. And, you know, one dude gets caught by his coat and he was like, and just ran off. Like, I don't think with any clothes on, but, you know, they were ready to get away. This was the group of guys that have transformed our church, that are changing the landscape of our world. That was the beginning. I love that he did not pick perfect individuals. I love that God, over and over again, and the beauty of reading the Bible from beginning to end, is you see that he uses broken person after broken person after broken person. And he still accomplishes his will and his purpose. And so here we go in Acts 2. Chapter 2, verse 1, it says, when the day of Pentecost arrived, and one thing, even, I know we aren't, not many of us probably have a Jewish background, but let me just give you a little idea, because Pentecost didn't just begin the day that the Holy Spirit came. We've kind of adopted that word, but Pentecost was a celebration that happened 50 days after Passover. Passover was a celebration of when God passed over the people of Israel, when they poured the blood on the doorpost, and it passed over those families, and it killed the firstborn of Egypt, and that's what got them released. So they celebrated that every year, and 50 days later, they had this celebration. There was a celebration going on, and the beauty of that and the purpose of that is God had drawn all his people into this one city for this celebration, for something they didn't even know what was going to happen, which we'll see in just a second. It says they were all together in one place, and then suddenly there came from heaven a sound like a mighty rushing wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. It's going to sound a little strange. I know some of us have, you know, if you've grown up in a charismatic church, tongues of fire, you're like, yeah, bring them. Everybody else is like, it's okay. This happened. It says, and divided tongues as of fire appeared to them and rested on each one of them. I'm telling you, like, I want to see stuff like this. Like, I'm hoping heaven has, like, reel by reel, play by play, that we get to see. And I'd love to see, like, I imagine some of them, like,
Like, don't burn my hair, or, you know, just kind of, they're not knowing what's going on, like, if this is going to catch me on fire, like, maybe they just disrespected their mother, which was a big deal, like, earlier that morning, and they're like, God's come to consume me, we don't know, or maybe some of them that are just curious are like, you know, they're not really doing that, but, you know, in my mind, that's what's going on. In verse 4, it says, and they were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. They could not control themselves. Verse 5, it says, and they were, now there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men of every nation under heaven. See, God had a plan to impact the world in one meeting. Because he had gathered them all there in one place. His people that were following Jehovah were getting ready to meet him personally. And in verse 6, it says, At this sound, the multitude came together. So what happened in their room did not just contain in the room, but it was so loud that everyone around started, you know, we do this. It's like NASCAR. You know, it's like we're there for the wreck. Like, that's why traffic is so backed up every time there's a little bump up on the road, because we want to participate in seeing what's going on. And that's what happened here. There was a noise, and did you hear that? Let's go see what that is. They didn't have TV. They didn't have Netflix. Like, this was a big deal. They had to catch it. They were about to binge watch the whole Holy Spirit right now at one sitting. It says, and they were bewildered because each of them was hearing them speak in his own language. So you had people from different countries that didn't speak one language together. And as they were there, you had these unlearned, afraid, not linguists that have learned these other languages and prepared for this moment, but a gift from God to speak the message of God. And every single person heard in their own tongue praises to the Father. And they're like, what is going on? And of course, they continue. It says in verse 7, it says, and they were amazed and astonished, saying, are not all of these who are speaking Galileans? Meaning, like, these aren't people from my country. These aren't people that should know my dialect, should know my language, but they're speaking to me. And I love this. Skipping on to verse 12, it says, and they were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, what does this mean? But others mock because they're always in the room. So don't be afraid when people mock you. Don't be afraid when people say things about you, because this is getting ready to happen. Are they filled with new wine? Like, these guys are just drunk. I don't know about you, but I've never heard stories of alcohol increasing your intellect, increasing your ability for other languages. So there's not like, put it on tap and like, oh, now I can speak Russian. Oh, like, you know, here, there was none of that. So like, I don't know why, because they saw the result of what's going on. They see what's going on, but it's like, they gotta be drunk. Like, when God moves, people wanna push it off. People wanna go, yeah, you know, it's just this. And the beauty of the gospel is they could not. And see what happens next. Peter, the one who just a little earlier was just redeemed 40 days before this, as he jumped out of the boat, as he saw Jesus, and he swam into the seashore and got on his knees, and he had this conversation with Jesus after he had denied him 3 times. After that had been done, Jesus had a method for him to be restored. And 3 times he asked, do you love me? Then feed my sheep. Do you love me? Feed my sheep. Do you love me? Feed my sheep. This is the guy who couldn't even say the same love back to Jesus. Jesus was saying, do you unconditionally, do you agape love me? And he kept using this other one, like phileo, like we're friends. Fist pound, Jesus. And he's restoring him. And this guy steps out with something brand new. Like, they didn't get trained. Like, they didn't go to a seminar over these 40 days and like, you know, we can take over the world. We leave the seminar and it's like, I can do it. There was none of that. They were still afraid. But when the Holy Spirit came, something changed. And he preached a sermon, which literally was just telling them all the things that they already knew. He just brought to their attention this Jesus whom you crucified, who is the one that was spoken of by the prophets. He had came for us. And see, the beauty of it, it is not even your words, because these are things that Jesus had already spoken to them, but yet they didn't believe. But when the Holy Spirit came into play, something changed. It says, when they heard what Peter said about Jesus in verse 37, it says, now when they heard this, they were cut to the heart. And they said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, brothers, what shall we do? Like, here's the beauty. Like, there's not much in us that we have to let people know that there's something missing in their life and they need something more. Our industry that's out there is thriving off of that part. Like, they knew that something wasn't right, and they knew we needed to do something. And Peter said to them, repent, which is turn from where you were before. It wasn't going like, hey, I did that, I'm sorry. I mean, repent is turning. The 180 that she talked about earlier, it is going in one direction, realizing that that direction is destroying you, and I'm going to turn around and go the opposite direction towards Jesus. And he says, be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And what I want to talk about this morning, what I really want to hit on, is I think we've missed, some of us have completely misplaced. Like, hey, the Holy Spirit, like, we get Jesus. Jesus, we love Jesus. Like, we can fit him in that box that we love. The Holy Spirit, there's a little unknown in it. And we're kind of like, you know, it's on a shelf in our house. Some of us have gotten this wrong thing that we believe that, you know, when we are saved, God does give us the Holy Spirit. But there's a part of us that is ever, I call it the leaking syndrome. See, what the Holy Spirit does to us, uh-oh, that's right. It leaks, and that's an uh-oh. It's a leaking syndrome. So what God does to us, and we'll see this perfectly in Acts 4, is that God, on the moment that we receive him as our Lord and Savior, God gives us the eternal gift of the Holy Spirit. Cannot be removed, cannot be taken from us, period. But the power that we have access to from the Holy Spirit can be toyed with our own sin and with our own life. We can't lose Jesus. If we've received Jesus, if we've turned our life into his hands, nothing is going to remove us from that. But the power that God gives us, we can unplug from. I mean, John 15, we read a couple of weeks ago, I mentioned, you know, I'm the vine, you are the branches. Any man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. There is no fruit production in our life without a connection to the Holy Spirit. And so the beauty, this happened. It did not end. The Holy Spirit was not a segment of the church that ended once the church began. The Holy Spirit is the gift that has been given to us for eternity. Until we walk into the presence of God, the Holy Spirit is our connection to the Father. And I love this, the leaking syndrome. So what happens after this? Not cocky, not arrogant, but a power rested on his disciples. They healed this guy at the pool, been lame for 40 years. Silver and gold, I don't have. Our kids just a few days ago, and I don't remember if it's elementary or preschool, went through this same topic. They were taught on this verse right here. Silver and gold I don't have, but what I do have, I'll give you. And right there, that guy got up and walked and praised God. And the religious rulers, not of the sect of Christianity, wanted to crush it, but they could not crush it because everybody was like, we knew that guy. We walked by this guy every day for 40 years. And so they threatened him. Don't you do this. Don't you talk about the power of Jesus. And they're still influential, they're still powerful, and they go back to their disciples, other disciples, they group together, and they have this moment. They have a prayer meeting. Acts 4:31. It says, "And when they had prayed, the place in which they had gathered together was shaken." Listen to this again. Look at this. "And they were filled with the Holy Spirit and continued to speak the word of God in boldness." These are the same guys who in Acts 2 were filled with the power and presence of Jesus. And in just two chapters, we don't know how necessarily long that is, they needed to be filled again. See, some of us, we've put our cup to God and we got filled one time. And we've drank deeply of that presence of God and we have enjoyed that and we've never gone back to Him and go, "I want more." Jesus this morning wants to make you function like you were designed. You see this right here? Does this bother anybody the whole time it's been here? You're like, "Why is there a table with a lamp that is not plugged in?" Does anybody notice that? Raise your hand if you notice that. Okay, some of you, you're like me. Like, that would bother me. I would have come up if I didn't know. I told some people on our team, "Don't touch this." But this lamp right here was designed for a purpose. But it can still be used. I mean, it can still be nice. We can set it in the corner, and as long as that line is, you know, is not facing you. That was last week. Did anybody notice over here that one of them, the line was out front? It drove me crazy. I wanted to be that guy, but I'm like, "Don't do it, because no one else sees it." But this lamp had a design and a purpose, and it looks functional. Looks like it's got all its parts. There's a bulb in there. Amazing. And we can walk around and be like, "Look at my lamp. Isn't my lamp awesome?" But you know, when it gets dark, the lamp doesn't get awesome. It just becomes an obstacle that you fall over. But this lamp was never designed to be used just to be seen without connected to the power. And literally, this is what I'm asking today. And this is something every day for the rest of your life, as long as you follow Jesus, you will have to do. You'll have to wake up in the morning and go, "God, I acknowledge that without you, I have nothing. I have no power. I have no ability to do what you desire. I have no way to be a good husband, a good father. I have no way to be a good wife, a good mother on my own." I did a wedding last night. Girl I've known since she was 12 years old. Girl in my youth group when I was a youth pastor. Sweetest wedding I think I've been involved in. Precious. Drove back here last night. Every day for the rest of their life and in their vows, you get this idea that till death do us part, we're going to choose. The danger is we make those commitments without the power to fulfill them. Like if you're beating your head against the wall with your own purity, with your own lifestyle, with your own addiction, with your own whatever, if you're not plugging into the power, there is no freedom. The Word of God says, "Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom." Our freedom comes from the power. And that power was never meant to be taken from God and used by you to declare that I've got my way into heaven. That power was given to you so that you would boldly proclaim the name of Jesus. So that you would function. I tested this earlier. Somebody smarter than me was like, "You probably should test it. That would be like..." So... this doesn't have to live in the trickle anymore. It gets to function like it is designed. But sometimes our life and our lifestyle brings this in our life. And so if you feel like, "I just don't feel the presence. I just don't feel like, I don't feel that I felt before," here's what's missing. That's wrong. There we go. And then a little bit later down the road, we're going to lose it. You know, I'd hate when people I always go around the speed limit, but like when people if I've got somebody in front of me, I can't go any faster. And they get behind you, like when I cannot see their headlights anymore, that annoys me. So I get angry and and I think bad thoughts about them. And then I've got to settle down, and I've got to plug in. And I've got to choose every day for the rest of my life that the only way that I'm going to be what God designed me to be is connecting to the source that He provided. I mean, when Jesus said, "It is to your benefit," these are people that physically had the presence of deity in the flesh beside them, saying that it is beneficial that I leave. Because if Jesus wasn't in the room, you weren't with the presence of God. But right now, when we all depart from this room in a little bit, the presence of God doesn't stay in this, not even our space, in the senior center. We are praying that God's influence affects this campus all week long. But it doesn't stay here. You don't have to check it at the doors on your way. Like, I'll see your presence when we get back next week. We get to take it with us. And every single day, we get to wake up and have a choice. I'm plugging into the power of God. His word also says to us that if the Bible is difficult to you, like if you read the Bible and it's like, oh, I just don't get it. Holy Spirit authored the Bible. The Holy Spirit gives you interpretation of the Bible, Acts 17. All the things that Jesus couldn't give us. He said, don't worry. I'm going to send you the Holy Spirit. And that Holy Spirit's going to help you understand what I want to speak to your heart. I love this verse. I'm not the greatest father. You know, if you get to know me, like you'll realize that we're just as imperfect as everybody else. That's why I love not having a stage. Like, I'm not elevated from you guys. I'm on the floor with you. Struggling with two teenagers now and another child that is precious. She's cute. Like, and I don't know if it's in comparison to the other two. My other two aren't bad, but like Allie, she's like, anyway. But listen to this. I love to give good gifts. Like, I feel like I love and adore my children, and I want to do what is best for them. And there's a piece in Scripture in John 14, verse 23. It said, and Jesus answered him. Oh, this isn't it. That's the wrong one. Sorry. Luke 11, 13. I should have trusted my verses. Thought I got them out of order. Luke 11, 13 says, if you then, speaking of us, who are evil, by the grace of God, redeemed, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give? Another chapter that talks about this, I believe in Matthew, doesn't say Holy Spirit. Talked about give us good gifts, but that good gift is the Holy Spirit. How much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him? He does not want to deny you. Like, there are some things that He's going to say no to you because, like me, trying to be a good parent, I'm trying in my imperfectness to be a good father and say, oh, that is not good for you. You cannot have that. You cannot watch this. You cannot listen to that. And I know I sound like a broken record to my children, but the Holy Spirit, the beauty of plugging into the Holy Spirit, you're going to turn on the radio and you're like, ooh, like I shouldn't listen to that. Holy Spirit. Like, the enemy's not going to say, you shouldn't binge watch on that show. I mean, that's not going to happen. If you feel that, if you start watching something, there's something and you're going to listen to the Holy Spirit. See, we're constantly in a position that we want to we unplug. We don't lose the Holy Spirit. Don't hear that. Like, I'm not talking about like, oh, I'm lost. I'm saved. I'm lost. No, we're saved by grace, but the power, the anointing of God that He wants to give you comes when we are plugged into Him. Galatians 5, 22 through 23. This is a list that by the grace of God, if you have an issue, the Holy Spirit can fix it because it's in this list. Listen to this. But the fruit of the Spirit is. When we're plugged in, So if this isn't your life right now, it's probably a power issue. It's probably a connection issue. Listen to this. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. What he's saying is before they had this rule book, like do these things and you'll be good, and they couldn't do it. But then God came in the flesh, did what we couldn't do, gave grace to us by going to the cross, dying, paying the penalty for our sins so that we, through the power of the Holy Spirit, Romans 8 has a great one too that says, as we sow into the Spirit, we will reap the things of the Spirit. The things you want in life, the things that you really want, not the carnal things that you think are going to make you happy, but when you really get them, they don't. The things that you want, the things that you need, are only going to come from the Father, through the Son, and by the Holy Spirit. Wake up. Wake up to the reality that He is not holding anything back from you. When Adam and Eve sinned, and this is the image, because I think in the Old Testament we get lost in, you know, some of the things that happen in the Old Testament. We're like, who is God? Look at the first picture of sin. When sin entered the world, what did God do? God pursued. God provided. God sacrificed for them, gave them their first clothes, but they missed out on that perfection that God put them in, and they were cast in the world. But God did not run from them. God ran towards them. And so this morning, I'm going to invite our worship team back up. And this morning, as you're here, there's one thing that I want you to leave with. Well, two things. If you don't know Jesus, if you haven't surrendered your life to Jesus, the only thing that is going to satisfy you is going to be Jesus, period. And so what we want to do is make sure that you understand that that happens not by your good works, not by your good effort, but by the grace of God. That He came and did what you couldn't do in perfection, willingly went to the cross, knowing that you needed Him, so that this day you could choose Him, receive life, get plugged in and have the power to do the things that He has designed you to do. And so if you're in this room and you've never called on the name of Jesus, dear in worship, it is as simple as this. Of going, God, I'm a mess without You. And I know that the life I've lived will never earn me life with You. But I trust in the sacrifice of Your Son. And today, I surrender to Him. Make it your words. Pray that. For everyone else in this room that has already called on the name of Jesus, but you feel like an unplugged lamp, plug in. It just said, how much more will the Heavenly Father give you the Holy Spirit for those who ask? Ask. And I encourage you, let's just test this week. Let's wake up every morning for the rest of the week. And before you start anything else, before you get into an argument with anybody, before you check Facebook and get frustrated, just say, Holy Spirit, I want to invite You into my day. Help me hear You and see You, and I'm Yours. Get into the Word, pray, but just invite the Holy Spirit. And I believe, then when we're like this, our life makes sense. It won't be easy, but it'll make sense. We'll see the purpose and hand of God in us. So I'm going to pray. We're going to go into worship, and then we'll release. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank You that, Lord, You didn't just give us a rule book that we get to try our best to live out, but Lord, You gave us this book, this story about You. And how much You loved us and all these things that You want to teach us and for us to know. And Lord, we're thankful that You sent the Helper to us. that that helper right now is in this room with a desire to call us into a connected relationship with the Father. And so, Holy Spirit, I pray that you would do what only you could do in our lives, that you would bring transformation, that you would bring salvation, that you would bring restoration to broken things in this room. And Lord, I pray that we would be willing to invite you into every day and that we would be willing to submit to you. Because, Lord, we acknowledge that the way you lead will always be to life. And so we submit ourselves to you as we worship you, and we pray all these things in the mighty and powerful name of Jesus. Amen.